numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
This is Stuart Venner. I tell it as I see it, and I see it as it is.
It was interesting,
but it was also stupid.
Police, stop my car. Police, stop my car. The police made me stop. Walk a straight line and blow a balloon up. Police, stop my car. Police, stop my car. The police made me stop. Walk a straight line and blow a balloon up. They wanna wish me a sober Christmas. That's why they always put me over Christmas. They say they're just making sure that there's no open bottles in my car. They wanna wish me a sober Christmas. That's why they always put me over Christmas. They say they're just making sure that there's no open bottles in my car. Police rode a block. Police rode a block. Police rode a block. I can smell their donuts as they smell my breath. Police rode a block. Police rode a block. Police rode a block. I can smell their donuts as they smell my breath. They wanna wish me a sober Christmas. That's why they always put me over Christmas. They're gonna let me out on bail this Christmas from the bottom of their hearts. Police lock me up. Police lock me up. The police lock me up. Cause when I do, I do a 2.1.
This is Stuart Venner. I want to welcome you to this week's Christmas show. We have a great lineup of guests. Jill Vandergood is going to tell us about the fear and overcoming the fear of public speaking. Jill's husband is a professional Santa Claus. Sue Elliott is going to tell us about how to survive torture-free holidays. We have Tiffany Hastings. She's an ex-teacher and is going to discuss bullying. We have our segment with Fred Claridge. Fred is our stock market moron, and we're going to find out what his tips are for the week and how he did. Fred, incidentally, did lose over $1 million in one day. And finally, we have Terry Snyder as a guest. Terry runs Operations North State. This is where companies supply goods for our troops who won't be home for Christmas. Please stay tuned. I know you're going to enjoy the show.
Public speaking. Suddenly I'm someone I don't know. I just hate being looked at. There must be something in my nose. My hair is bad, my fly is open, I'm wearing the wrong clothes. I'm hiding in the bathroom, 'cause my stomach's not quite right. When I think of standing up to speak, I'm paralyzed with fright. I hate public speaking. Suddenly I'm someone I don't know. I feel quite catatonic. My voice is monotone. My mind is blank and I forget everything I've ever known. I stutter and I stammer, and to everyone it's plain that I'm the person up in front who used to have a brain.
I have Jill Vandergood on the line, and we're going to talk about the fear of public speaking. Jill is an author and a speaker. She's from Utah. She's written a number of award-winning nonfiction books, What's It Like Living Green?, Kids Teaching Kids by the Way They Live, and Drug Makes You Unsmarter. She's quite a lady. And before we get into this, I want to ask you a question. I'm reading your bio, and I understand your husband is a professional Santa Claus.
Yes, that is true.
And you're Mrs. Claus.
Yes, I am.
Is he fat?
He's pretty busy this time of year, too.
Is he fat?
I'd say jolly.
He's jolly. Does he have a big beard?
Yes, he does.
Which he has all the time, right?
He blows it all year round.
That's very cool. And what's it like being a professional Santa Claus?
If I'd known I was going to have to put up with a bunch of screaming brats pissing on my lap for 30 days out of the year, I would have killed myself a long time ago. Come to think of it, I still might.
He's been for probably more than 10 years, and he visits a lot of homes and businesses, and he just looks forward to it all year.
I think that is wonderful. That's really fun. Now, what we're really going to talk about is the fear of public speaking. I know a lot of people really just go into panic when they have to speak before a group, don't they?
They do.
And what do you recommend they do? What is your thoughts on this?
Okay, I have 10 points. I don't know if we'll get through all of them, but the first one I say is to always say yes, and then try to figure out what you're going to do after.
Well, that's what I've always told every girl I've ever met. You always say yes, no matter what I ask you. What's the second point?
Think of something that scares you even more than public speaking. For my instance, I went skydiving. And after that, I wasn't afraid of public speaking because I remembered going skydiving, and it wasn't as scary to speak in front of people.
Should you picture the audience naked? I've heard that somewhere.
Well, I never think that works.
Okay.
Another person in my book went and did a comedy class, and he ended up becoming a comedian. But it was all because he was trying to face his fear of public speaking.
And what's the third thing? Let's run down them all quickly.
Find a Toastmasters club in your area.
That's a good idea. Practice makes perfect.
Yes, lots of practice.
And number four?
And number four is put together an outfit where you know you look good, and so you're not thinking about yourself, you're not self-conscious in any way.
Well, that makes sense, because if you look real stupid, then you're going to feel uncomfortable, so you got to know that you look good so that... That makes sense. What's the next one?
Know your material really well. Be prepared on your topic. If you know your subject, it doesn't matter if you forget a story and then go back and do it later. It doesn't matter what order they're in.
If you're Obama, of course, it helps to have a teleprompter.
Yes, but I don't have one.
What's the next one?
Don't depend on notes is what I recommend, because I've lost my place in my notes, and then I was lost because I was depending too much on the notes. So I just use bullet points, just maybe one word that will prompt me.
That makes a lot of sense, too. And what else?
I don't depend on the PowerPoint anymore. Some people do, and that kind of helps them because they're not engaged in the audience as much. But I've lost my place in the PowerPoint before,
yeah.
So I don't recommend that. For me, anyway, I don't do it.
And next?
Number eight is, if you feel nervous in the beginning, use something to break the ice. I got this tip from Barry Mayer, and he's a public speaker, and he says, have the audience introduce themselves or do something like that so that the focus is on the audience instead of you for a few minutes till you get your calm back.
That makes a lot of sense, too. And what's the next one?
Throw in an exercise in the middle of the talk so that you're not, so you get a chance to take a drink and go over your bullet points and things like that so that you
now
can...
Now you lost me on that. What do you do?
Yourself.
Do you exercise? Do you do, like, sit-ups?
No. Like, I'll have them... If I'm doing a writing group, for instance, I'll give them some pictures and have them write something about it. Or I'll have somebody from the audience come up and do something.
That's good. And the last one, what is that?
Watch videos of great speakers until you find your own style.
Well, that also makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you watch people that are good at what they do, then you, I guess, learn a lot of tips. You'll probably get a little something out of every speech that you watch. If they're good speakers. It's also probably good to watch bad ones, and you learn, well, what not to do.
Yeah, and some of the sites would be YouTube videos of Steve Jobs or TEDx videos.
They were real good, weren't they?
very good speakers.
So do you
also, I wanted to correct you on my name. My name is Jill Vanderwood.
What did I say?
W-O-O-D. I think you said good.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Jill Vanderwood. And Jill, do you, where can people get your book? Have you written a book about this?
I wrote a book called Shaking Behind the Microphone, Overcoming the Fear of Public Speaking. And it's available on Amazon.com, or you can order it through a bookstore. And it's also available on Amazon Kindle and through BarnesandNoble.com.
Well, I think that's pretty important for everyone. I mean, even kids need to do this. And if they're in their school, they have to talk before their class. It's important for everybody to have good presence and be able to speak in public. Jill, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I think we all learned a lot about this. Especially the part of never say no. I like that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jill.
My website is jillvanderwood.com.
All right, that's jillvanderwood.com. Jill, thank you, and I guess you're going to be pretty busy with being Mrs. Santa Claus this season, so go pass out a lot of presents. Thank you.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Maybe we'll have ourselves a little Christmas right here. Come on, everyone, gather around. String up the lights and light up the tree. We're gonna make some revelry. Spirits are high, so I can tell it's Christmas time in hell. Demons are nicer as you pass them by. There's lots of demon toys to buy. The snow is falling and all is well. It's Christmas time in hell.
Everybody has a happy glow. Let's dance in blood and pretend it's snow.
Even Mao Zedong is under the spell.
It's Christmas time in hell.
Adolf, here's a present for you.
What?
A Tannenbaum! Yes, a Tannenbaum. God cast me down from heaven's door to rule in hell forevermore. But now I'm kind of glad that I fell, because it's Christmas time in hell. Here's a rack to hang the stockings on. We still have to shop for Genghis Khan. Michael Landon's hair looks swell. It's Christmas time in hell. For one day we all stop burning, and the flames are not so thick. All the screaming and the torture stops as we wait for old St. Nick. So string up the lights and light up the tree. We're damned for all eternity, but for just one day, all is well. It's Christmas time in hell. Ring the bell. It's Christmas time.
Welcome back to the show. I have Sue Elliott on the line. Sue is quite a lady. She's the founder and chief editor-in-chief of Law Traction Magazine. And She's going to talk about heartfelt holidays. We're going to talk about torture-free holidays, which I know this is the time of the year that I don't look forward to the torture. Sue, welcome to the show.
Hello, and thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure having you on. Tell me, how do you get around the torture of the holiday season? Because it can be pretty rough.
Oh, yes. You know, we make ourselves really crazy at this time of year. So what we can do is sort of unplug from all of the ways we're doing it to ourselves. For example, a lot of us compare our real families and the memories we have of holidays we've spent with them with this ideal of perfect families that we've seen on TV or in the movies or like that Norman Rockwell painting at the holiday.
Yeah, that doesn't exist, does it?
No. I don't know anybody who's had that. And yet, we're all, you know, upset that we didn't have that perfect childhood. And a lot of us are trying to recreate that perfect ideal in our lives right now and holding ourselves to this impossible standard.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting.
If we can let go of that, you know, of wishing that our family were different or better, it just releases so much stress. And maybe we can even laugh at, you know, their quirkiness.
Well, it kind of is what it is, and people don't want to accept that.
It's true. It's true. But when we can just learn to love them or even just accept them as they are, it makes life so much more easy and peaceful and joyful.
That makes sense. And, you know, holiday shopping can be a nightmare. My God, because you always get the wrong things.
You know, we have this idea that there's such a thing as a perfect gift. And so we'll go from store to store trying to find something better. And or you know, struggle over which one to buy. Should I get the blue or should I get the green? You know, we make ourselves just crazy over this stuff. And what I recommend is that we just, you know, give from the heart. Find something that you believe that somebody will like.
And like if they were giving me a tube of Preparation H, that would be something I could use.
And yet so many people would be upset over that gift. Which is another way we make ourselves crazy. You know, we have this tendency to keep score in gift giving. You know, we pay attention to how much things cost, or I gave you a gift and you didn't give me anything back. And we use gift giving as like a form of competition or a test to see if people really know us and care about us. And if we could just let go of all of that, if we could.
I know. I personally hate it when people bring me things that they cook in their kitchen because you know you never know the cleanliness and.
Really?
I don't know. I don't like that. I just don't like it. Most of the time, I just throw it away because I'm afraid they might be poisoning me.
That's so fun. Oh, my goodness. That's really interesting. And some people think by giving you something that they've cooked with their own two hands, you know, it's made with love and it's more valuable than something they bought. And so
yeah,
we
but
all
the kitchens
these...
aren't inspected by the Board of Health.
Exactly. So we all have these, you know, quirks and different ways of looking at the world. And
well, I'm a little quirky, I guess.
We all are. That's part of our charm, you know. But if we can let go of judging other people for what they give us and just judging ourselves, whether somebody liked what they gave us or what we gave them or not, we can let go of a lot of the suffering that we experience around the holidays.
And sometimes it can be a competition. I mean, you have to outdo somebody with the gift.
Exactly. And if they're, you know, step-parents, that can really escalate to an incredible degree. And then we have these stories around they're trying to buy our kids' affection or they're trying to buy my affection. And you know, I would love for everybody to let go of the sense of obligation and comparison around gift-giving or anything else at this time of year.
Well, that makes a heck of a lot of sense, because holidays sure can be stressful.
Absolutely.
So what, in a short phrase, what do you think the key is, the one thing that you recommend everybody do?
Take some time to just relax and breathe. You know, it's funny, we're all in such a hurry at this time of year. We have this feeling of too much to do and not enough time to do it in, and we get really stressed out and frenzied, and we're standing in line and we're going crazy. And if people would just kind of take three deep breaths, just stop and take three deep breaths, and I promise everything will feel easier after that.
That
it's
makes a
amazing
heck of a lot
and
of
magical.
Sense. Now, if you're giving gifts to kids, do you give them toys or clothes? So you know they're going to hate the clothes.
It depends on the kids, because, you know, if you've got a teenage girl, clothes would be a lot better.
Teenager, yes.
Yes. But it's funny, you know, we have this idea that there is such a thing as a perfect gift for anybody, and there really isn't. We can do the best we can, but if we let go of trying to be perfect and just give with a sense of appreciation and joy, and maybe not even giving physical gifts, maybe giving gifts of time together. You know, creating memories can be a lot more valuable to somebody than another physical thing.
That's really nice. Now, for all the listeners out there, I've given you my secret, so if you all want to send me a nice Christmas present, I'll take the preparation H. And we've been speaking to
no
Sue
pie.
Elliott. Sue has taught us all about torture-free holidays. And Sue, it's been a lot of fun. Plus, I think it's been kind of interesting and important for people to learn. Get realistic and don't have unrealistic expectations and just take your family the way they are, bad or not.
Can I offer a gift to your listeners, too? I have a set of audios called Heartfelt Holidays that people can download for free if they want help.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell us about that. Please, tell us how we can get
they're,
that.
They're very brief. It's 8 audios. They're short enough to listen to on a coffee break, and you can download them from lovingmyself.com/holidays.
That's great. So you go to lovingmyself.com, and you can download Sue's brief little audios, and hopefully we'll all have a good holiday and get through this year as we have in the past, but maybe a little better.
Yeah.
Sue, thank you so much for coming on the show.
www.theideamagazine.com. We've got news up there. We've got an audio section. We've got our comedy zone, as well as videos and interviews with entertainers and musicians from around the country. We have our country music section. We have reporters all over the country, including in Canada and overseas in Europe. Check out The Idea Magazine at www.theideamagazine.com. Photo galleries, audio, print editions coming soon to www.theideamagazine.com.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend a presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. BuyYourTimeshare.com. That's BuyYourTimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Welcome back to the show. I'm delighted to have Tiffany Haston on the line. Tiffany is a ex-school teacher, and we're going to talk to her about bullying. Bullying's a pretty serious thing, isn't it, Tiffany?
Yes, it is. It is.
Can you tell us about some of the experiences that you've seen and observed as your years of teaching?
I taught in the elementary school, so I taught various grades. I taught second and fifth grade. And one of the main things that I would see is just, in the lower grades, it's more of the bullying of, you know, you're not smart, or, you know, you're not, you can't read well, or all of those things. In the upper grades, it starts getting a little bit more, you know, you're not pretty enough, you're not this enough, you're not cool enough. You know, there's a little bit more of a desire to be socially superior.
So it's not necessarily violence, which of course can be part of it, but can also be just verbal abuse.
Oh, yes, yes. And especially in the elementary schools, you see more of the, you see a little bit more of the verbal. Occasionally, yes, you will see like a, you know, a small, like, you know, scuffle breakout. And a lot of, some of those happen on the buses, which is kind of out of the teacher's realm of, you know, being able to keep, you know, harmony and peace. Sometimes those things happen more on a bus because, you know, you got one bus driver and you've got, you know, 30 plus kids, and he or she can't, you know, leave her driving, you know, and go back and try to, you know, handle something immediately. So some of that happens more on the bus. But what I saw more was a verbal, of just trying to make a child feel either that they weren't smart enough, or that as the older grades went up, that you now weren't cool enough, you weren't pretty enough, you weren't, you know, macho enough. It, with the boys, it was, you know, am I more manly than you are? You know, so you start kind of getting the negative comments of, you know, you're a girly guy, or, you know, yeah, you're a lady, or you're a girl. And so you start seeing stuff like that. And with the girls, you see, well, you're, you know, so-and-so doesn't like you. And if, you know, he doesn't like you, then, well, you know, you're not cute, you know. So I saw more of that in the elementary schools. So it was more of a verbal for me.
And it can really be pretty devastating for these kids. I mean, I've even heard cases where they commit suicide.
Yes, yes. And that starts, you start seeing that with the upper grades, like, you know, sixth grade and up. You start seeing a more intense bullying as children get older. I think some of that has to do with, you know, you've got a little bit of the hormonal thing coming in. People are, you know, starting to like other people, and they're trying to make sure that the person likes them and not somebody else. So they're going to do everything they can to kind of tear down that person.
Now, I'm reading your biography, and you were actually bullied yourself as a child, weren't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I was. I say that bullying has no age limit. So I kind of, it just progresses into our adulthood. The good thing about adulthood is we kind of have the tools to, you know, combat it. But as a child, I had dyslexia, so I kind of had the you're not smart enough, and as well as my hair. I had strawberry blonde hair, and
what's the matter with that?
Some people are very want to make you aware that they either hate your hair or they love your hair.
I thought blondes had more fun.
Well, the problem is, as a strawberry blonde, you're more of a redhead.
Okay.
And so you kind of have more red hair. And as I've gotten older, I have a dark auburn. And I have had people many times come up and tell me whether or not I should be a redhead, and, you know, in various ways that were not always positive. And, you know, you get the call, you know, typical names, you know, carrots, ginger, you know, down to why are you so pale? Why don't you tan? But my biggest thing, the
worst part,
that
you're probably not going to get skin cancer.
Yeah, right, exactly. I'm not. I read something the other day that said redheads, you know, either have two skin tones. We either have, you know, pale, or we have lobster, you know, depending on if we're sunburned. But middle school was the worst for me, where I kind of came across some really mean bullying that was physical as well as verbal. So I was pinned against a wall in a locker room when I was changing, and by some older girls. And basically every deficiency I had at the age of 12 was announced to the whole locker room.
That's terrible.
And yes, and you know, it went through the school. You know, it started just with the locker room, and then it went to giggling in the hallways because people had heard about it and told other people about it, and it just kind of was pervasive for me for a while there. And so that was one reason why I eventually wrote my book, was I had conversations with my mother over the years about the things that make me special as a redhead, and also as a girl and eventually a woman.
I think it's pretty cool being a natural redhead.
I think it's great. I mean,
you know, most of the redheads out there, the carpets don't match the drapes.
I know, exactly. Well, and you know, it's a great thing. You know, we stand out, and you know, I love it. I've come to love it as an adult, and just really embrace it. But as a kid, you know, the biggest thing you want to do is fit in. And
sure.
So you know, you're trying to fit in. And I think that's the big thing with bullying, is a lot of these kids get bullied and they want to fit in. And so they either don't say anything because, well, you know, maybe if I just change, they'll accept me, or they start internalizing it, which means whatever the bully is saying, they start believing it, which was my case.
Tiffany, you've written the book, haven't you? You made mention to it. Could you tell us about your book?
Yeah, it's called Red is the Color Of, and it's basically a conversation between a mother and a daughter about the things that make her special. And she comes home, you know, one day after being bullied, and she says, "I hate my red hair. Why can't I just be normal?" And the mother then decides to tell her, you know, you are normal. You're just different and special, and all the things that make her special. And at the end, she learns that the biggest thing that makes her special is that red is the color of love.
Well, that's
and,
good.
So that's kind of, it's for ages, you know, all ages, but, you know, primarily elementary kids would probably get the meaning, you know, pretty right off the bat. And
well, Tiffany, how can people find your book? Where is it available?
They can find it online at Amazon and as well as Barnes & Noble. It's available on paperback on both those sites, as well as a Kindle and a Nook.
All right, so out there, everybody out there, Red is the Color of Love, right?
Oh, actually, it's called Red is the Color Of with three little dots.
Red is the Color Of ... and by Tiffany Haston. And you're going to learn a lot about bullying, and it can be a pretty terrible and pretty devastating thing for these kids. And I think it's important that you read this book. Tiffany, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Bullying isn't cool. Bullying is lame. Bullying is ugly and has a stupid name. For a healthy world, bullying's unfit. And I think I know what we should do to it.
Fred was a little special.
Fred was kind with good intent, but just a little different, oh, special friend. Mama dropped him on his head. Now he's not so bright instead. He's a little bit special.
Welcome back to the show. We have Fred Claridge online. Fred's our weekly segment of stock market advice, or misadvice. Fred, welcome to the show.
I've been called a lot of things, but never misadvice.
Well, how did this week go for you in your portfolio?
Wonderful, wonderful. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, stock Edwards Life Sciences, they are the manufacturers of something called the Sapien valve, which is used for replacing heart valves.
You recommended that, and you actually own it yourself.
Oh, absolutely, of course, and it's only down 3 points today, which for me, well, no, but for those of you who didn't listen to me that day, hurry up, this is your chance to buy it before it goes down some more.
Well, don't you think with Obamacare that's kind of going to ruin the biotech industry?
No, I think eventually what will happen is that Obamacare is going to be, it'll fall on it by its own weight. But that's serious. But I think it's going to fall by its own weight. And as Republicans begin to take over the House and possibly even the Senate, a lot of this is going to be undone.
Well, I hope you're right this time.
And so
How did your personal portfolio do this last week? Did you make money or lose money?
Well, last week, you have to remember, the market itself was about unchanged. Although the last 2 days of the week, on Thursday and Friday, the market raced up. On Friday, when the market was up 198, I'm proud to tell you my portfolio was only down $828. Not bad.
Well, that's not bad for you, Fred. If you all remember from previous shows, Fred's lost over $1 million in 1 day in the stock market. So we always take Fred's advice and do the opposite, and we always become a winner that way. Fred, do you have any hot tips for this week for everybody?
Well, Stuart, if you remember, I also recommended last week's shows that people buy a company called ADT.
Yes, that's how's it
the,
doing?
Alarm company headquartered in Boca Raton. And if you were lucky enough to listen to me, you'd only be down 75 cents.
Fred, what are your tip for this week? What do you recommend?
My tip for this week, I think we'd have to go to a Moyle to get it. I think there's another wonderful stock by the name of Nuance Communications. That's when actually that Carl Icahn was able to put two members on the board of directors. I bought it at around 17.5. Today it's dropped down to only 14. But most people would recognize the stock because if you have an Apple, Apple iPhone, that's the voice of the woman, which is called Siri, S-I-R-I. This stock is guaranteed to go to 10. It's guaranteed to double and go to 20.
Well, I hope for your sake it does. So you're only down, 20%, 25%? That isn't too bad for you.
No. That's one of my winners.
Well, Fred, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And we've been listening and talking to Fred Claridge, our stock market moron, lost over $1 million in 1 day. Fred, thanks, and next week will be interesting to find out how you did this week.
I love it, and to all you investors who are following my advice, good hunting.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. BuyYourTimeshare.com. That's BuyYourTimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
My appeal.
Welcome back to the show. I have Terry Snyder on the phone. Terry is running a nonprofit called Operation North State. He's doing a great thing. He's supplying goods and things for our troops that are not going to be home for Christmas. Terry, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's really my pleasure. I think you're doing wonderful work and something that we all need to do more to support our troops. Tell us a little bit about Operation North State.
Yeah, Operation North State started 4 years ago, and the name Operation North State, operation primarily representing military, North State being this is taking place in the state of North Carolina.
Okay.
However, what we're doing here is a model that needs to be, you know, it needs to grow throughout the country. It can be done in every state because we all have we all have deployed troops and we all have veterans in need. So that's pretty much what our program's all about.
Is this primarily for veterans that are on active duty or also veterans that are off duty and that need help?
It's for both because, I mean, almost on a daily basis we get a request to help a veteran in need, a veteran, you know, that's recently come out of the service, as well as our, you know, active troops. But primarily one of the things we try to do is we try to put products. In fact, we try to represent North Carolina's people, places, products, and pride, especially for those troops that are deployed. And we just think it's a pretty cool idea to put some messages, put some products, put something that reminds them of the home state. And like I said, this could be done with every state in the country.
I think that's so important. I mean, times are a little better today. I remember I'm of the Vietnam era, and being spit on isn't the best welcome home present.
No. And you know, one thing about this program, too, is, I mean, we have youth involved. We have veterans involved. We have veterans going all the way back to World War II that are serving that event. Well, most of those are, we get a lot of support from the American Legion, the different posts around our state. And a lot of the, we still have, they can't do a heck of a lot, but they can get their, you know, their checkbook out and write a check once in a while. But then we also have a lot of our volunteers and support comes from the Vietnam era as well. And the one thing I'll tell you about every one of us from the top down, I'm the founder, I'm the chairman, and all the way down to every one of our volunteers, none of us make a dime at this. We have no paid person on our payroll.
That is really wonderful to hear. Can you tell us about some of the things that you have done for the troops?
Yeah, our biggest project has always been at Christmas time, and things have grown from that. But our biggest thing was, again, we wanted to send items and messages related to our state. So we've been doing this for 1,500 of our troops from North Carolina every Christmas. And I think this year we just had our last packing party yesterday, and we had 43 items in the box. And that included a letter from our governor, our two U.S. senators, messages from elementary school kids. I think we had 51 schools involved around our state. And also we had a special message. If you follow NASCAR at all, the king of NASCAR, mm-hmm. Richard Petty, which is probably one of our major ambassadors in our state, he put the message on the back of our T-shirt that said Military Pride, Richard Petty, number 43. So that, along with about 38 other little food items, food snacks, are what made up the box. And that's our signature project, and we have about 7 or 8 other projects that this has grown into.
I think that is so wonderful what you're doing, and there couldn't be a greater cause. I mean, these people are out there defending our country and keeping us free, and they certainly do need these things. And I can't think of any better job that anyone could do than what you're doing, Terry. And you think this can be expanded through other states, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about this. And like I said, like you mentioned, it's really important to our troops. But where to really blow your mind is the family members. We have, you know, a pretty depressed economy right now. And there are a lot of families that just can't even afford a gift box. And, you know, we've been able to put a product together here of about $120 retail value. And, I mean, we're down to the point that folks are calling us or saying, if my loved one doesn't get a gift box from you, they won't get one this year. We just don't have the means to do it. And you know, yes, it's great for the troops, but it also means a lot to the family. It's giving them some assistance, or like I said, a vehicle to reach their deployed loved one that otherwise they might not be able to do.
Terry, tell us, the folks out there, how they can help support your organization, because it certainly
is
deserving.
Again, I want to mention two things there. They can support us by, donations. I mean, needless to say, we get so many items donated, but we still have to pay for postage. And we also send around another 100 gift boxes on a monthly basis. But if they want to learn more about us, it's www.operationnorthstate.com. And we have a real active Facebook page, which is Operation North State. And then I want to offer my services. If there is an individual or a group anywhere across this country that would like to use this model, like to learn more about it, I will give you all the time. I'll share with you. But we'll do whatever we can to help assist, like I said, because we don't want to do it just here in North Carolina. We've got troops all over this country, and we'll do it again to help them.
And you don't need to just do it during Christmas. These are people that need the help and need just support year-round.
That's exactly right. Like I said, we're doing probably another, I'd say, between 80 and 100 gift boxes on a monthly basis. We're holding an annual fishing tournament that has grown from one lake, one event, to now 3 lakes this year, in this coming year in North Carolina. And we also are constantly taking items into, if you check around your state, you will probably have state-owned and state-supported veterans nursing homes. And we're constantly taking items. We have 4 here in North Carolina, and we take items to them on a regular basis.
That is wonderful. So everyone out there, you go to OperationNorthState.com. Contact Terry Snyder. He needs all the help and all the support you can give him, because what he's doing is God's work. And God bless you, Terry. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Listen, sir, thank you so much. And like I said, helping us spread the word and to all the supporters, we greatly appreciate it.
It is definitely important. God bless you, and thanks again.
chipmunks roasting on an open fire. Hot sauce dripping from their toes. Yuletide squirrels, fresh filleted by the choir. They poked hot skewers through their nose. Everybody knows some pepper and a garlic clove help to make them season right. Tiny rats with a crisp golden coat will really hit the spot tonight. And now when Santa sees his train, there'll be some homemade chipmunk jerky for his sleigh. And every hungry child is gonna spy. So I'm brushing on some honey glaze to keep them crisp and juicy too. Let's hope they get served many times, many ways. Tasty chipmunks, good food.
On that, Mr. Cole.
Yes, sir, Mrs. Smith.
Would you mind handing me the barbecue sauce? I am starved.
Where are you from, Dave? Listen, you let me have a two of them drumsticks because they're all so tiny and ain't much meat upon them.
Put a sock in it, Melvin. You know, for years people said you overrated hamsters were my meal ticket. Now I guess you could just say, you're my meal.
That's a good one, Dave. I always knew you was the funny one in the group.
Damn straight.
And so I'm offering some recipes from chipmunk pie to chipmunk stew. I'm not really sad that it ended this way. Furry chipmunks.
Did you hear that, Melvin? Melvin? Melvin!
Why, I'm sorry, Dave. Did you want Melvin? There's plenty of Thagador left, though.
This is Stuart Venner. I really want to thank you for tuning into this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you want to find out more, talk with us, or make suggestions for topics or guests, then follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Stuart Venner or Facebook at facebook.com/Stuart Venner's World. Remember, you can hear all of our shows and see what's new at stuartvenner.com. If you want to hear the Stuart Venner Show in your own area, contact your local radio station and request us. In fact, hound them. Tune in next week for more amazing guests and stories. Thank you.
I wet myself.
Aren't you ashamed?